This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Let me bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. We're giving you two this week because last week somebody didn't record, but I'm over it. Hope everyone's doing well. It's all good, man. Mistakes happen. I'm fucking with you.
See, throwing punches.
Throwing punches, man. By the way, watch Throwing Punches, my special on Fight Pass right now. Hope you guys are doing well. I'm excited because we got like three events coming starting on Saturday. It's like we got so spoiled and then all of a sudden it was dry. It was like orgy. Abstinence.
Look, I'm a big fan of fight cards that are earlier in the day, but this card on Saturday starts at 7 a.m., dude.
Really?
Yeah.
7 a.m.?
In the morning, yeah.
Wow, it's my little nephew's bar mitzvah Saturday. Oh, man. I guess
you gotta cancel that shit, dog.
You cancel the bar mitzvah?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Cancel the bar mitzvah because of the fight? Sorry, can't make the bar mitzvah. Why?
Wow. Fight. I did not realize it was so early. But it's going to be good. I actually was on UFC Unfiltered this week. So thank you to Matt Serra and thank you to Jim Norton. I talked to Matt Brown, who says he's in the best shape he's been in a long time. He looks good. Physically, he looks amazing. And I don't know, man. Carlos Condit, I mean, he looked good in his last fight, but he's lost 5 out of 6. Granted, he fought like killers, but I don't think I've ever seen a fighter go on a 5-fight losing streak. And that's how good Carlos Condit is. The UFC still kept him after losing 5 fights in a row. That says how
good. But that's not why.
Well, it shows you how good he is. I mean,
no, that's not why. They kept him because he's a great fighter. And he gives entertaining fights.
Dude, you lose 5 fights in a row, you have to be a special person for them to keep you.
Because maybe
we're saying the same thing, but I mean, a lot of great fighters have been cut after 2 fights.
He wasn't getting like demolished in his fights, though. I feel like all of his fights went to like a decision. Was he getting like knocked out every fight?
I think when he fought, didn't he fight Maya and got like taken down and submitted quickly? I think he fought some guys where it was like first round submission.
Yeah,
sure. But he's also had
right.
Such,
am I right about that?
Yeah, he's had some classic barn burner.
Oh yeah,
He's had some of the best fights I've ever seen in the UFC. Period. The end.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he, like the GSP fight was great. I mean, he's definitely fought some.
Robbie Lawler, I thought was
the Robbie Lawler Roy McDonald fights were the best fights. I was actually at those fights. Those fights were insane.
You think? I thought he just fell apart, bro.
But those fights against Robbie Lawler were, I mean, they were like
Robbie. Rocky. Yeah, you're right. Like Robbie Rocky. Lawler's lip looked like some shit I've never seen in my life.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah, that was like a before and after, like you just like, wow, do you really want to be a fighter? They should, like the thing is like, they should put that picture up. When someone's like, I want to be a fighter. Just show them the before and after. Really? You still want to be a fighter? Because if not, there's probably some other things. But yeah, I'm excited for that fight. I'm also excited for Ponzinibbio because that dude, very overlooked guy. And then I'm also excited for Joaquin Buckley, who came to my show. The guy who had that crazy knockout kick where the guy caught his leg He did
That was Mortal Kombat ninja shit.
Some Liu Kang shit, dog.
Yeah, no, I've never. Think about how many people have done that kick. Can't really find a lot.
Nobody.
Nobody. Exactly. And the way it looked, and the way he fell after the kick, I went, that was definitely Mortal Kombat.
Fatality.
And I asked his coaches. I'm like, did you teach him that? They're like, hell no. The coaches were like, we didn't know what the hell he did. Like, that's one of those things where, I mean, just on the spot. Because, you know, he didn't try that in practice that often. Maybe like once or twice. It's not a move that you really can practice in practice. It's one of those things.
But Dana White said that he should get a bonus just for that.
He should. He should get a bonus for the next four fights because of that, even if he loses. They just give him a bonus for the fight before. I mean,
dude, that knockout was so good. People aren't even talking about the knockout he did after that fight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, people just forget that fight even happened because the knockout before that was so good.
It overshadowed his next knockout.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly.
He beat the Beverly Hills Ninja. No, he did. He beat a white guy from Beverly Hills who actually used to train with the guy when he was younger. He's a good fighter. But I was like, it's rough, man. You know, it's hard because you make it to the big show and then they just throw you in there with just killers sometimes, you know?
But don't you think that's a good thing? I think it's a test, like a test by fire is a good thing where people really show that what they're about.
Of course, because you make it to the NBA, they don't give you easy teams.
Like, hey, we'll start you off with these teams that have broken legs.
Yeah, you're playing the Knicks for the first 35 games and then we'll move you up to the Lakers. You know, like, no, it is what it is. You know, I remember when I used to coach wrestling, there was a kid who became a congressman. He actually, that's how old I felt. This guy, Max Rose, was a congressman from New York, from Staten Island. He lost again this time. I was his wrestling coach. And to this day, he was the best wrestler I've ever seen when I coached him. And he was so good that he wrestled in like it was like for Brooklyn Poly Prep. And they wrestled like other prep schools in New York, like really like high-end, like expensive prep schools. And the other team would forfeit the match. Like he would go up and they wouldn't have a kid wrestle. They'd be like, no, because they knew their kid was going to lose. Which I was, as a coach, I'm like, what are you teaching these kids? That it's better to just not wrestle than to lose? I mean, so what? He goes out and loses, which is probably what's going to happen. First of all, you never know. It's sports.
Right, you never, yeah.
Number two, like, okay, let's say I got dunked on by Michael Jordan in high school or college. That would be, like, the greatest story I have. Like, yeah, dude, I played, you know, were you a good college basketball player? Dude, I played against Jordan. He scored 87 on me. Like, still, it's still awesome. I mean, everyone that like not got knocked out by Muhammad Ali still has a story about getting knocked out like Muhammad Ali. And so, I mean, I couldn't believe like the message these coaches were sending these kids, which is
that hey, guy's really good. Don't fight him.
What? Yeah, it's crazy. It says wrestling. You're not gonna get hurt. I mean, you know, so what? You're taking down a pin. You're not gonna get hurt. Don't join the wrestling team if you're afraid of losing.
Right. But in the UFC and Bellator doesn't do it as much, but the UFC really does say, oh, you think you're a killer? Yeah, let's see you fight a real killer. I've seen them do that to people. I think Sean O'Malley, to me, I think that was a case with him. Like, I know you talk a lot of shit, but there's some real killers waiting for
you.
Yeah,
but he was backing it up. But he knocked out Eddie Wineland. Fucking
But I still think that there's people that would literally.
Well, we'll see. I mean, that Vera fight was very. There's a big asterisk on that on that Vera fight.
Because his ankle.
Yeah, because he was winning the fight before that happened, and he just checked the kick the wrong way. He wasn't like, it wasn't one of those things where he was getting murked, and you're like, oh, this guy's out of his element. By the way, the only other thing as a coach, as a wrestling coach, is hard to do. I'll tell you the hardest thing is when a kid on my team isn't that good, you know, like kind of a newer kid or something, and he has to wrestle a girl on the other team, and he'll probably lose to the girl, or maybe it's a good girl, and the parents will ask me, hey, can you not have him wrestle the girl? Because, you know, it's like, he wrestles whoever's in front of you, like, I can't do anything about it. At the same time, like, it's the parent asking me, and that puts me in a tough situation, because...
Did you ever just say no? He's got to wrestle Cindy, and that's it. And if Cindy double legs him, that's your fault. You're not a good parent. You should have said that to him.
What is the parents? Dude, one time we had a kid, we had a girl on my team that I was coaching who won. And the other coach said, oh, we're going to give him a hard time on the way home. And I was like, please don't. I'm like defending his kid again. I'm like, people are fucking weird.
Yeah.
So Dana White said he has a big announcement about Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
Fighting at 155, but he won't say who. People are speculating it's going to be Justin Gaethje, which wow. I think would be awesome. I like that fight.
You do?
Yeah, of course I do. Because, yeah, look, what I know that Diaz looked like he was getting fucked up against Masvidal, right? But
we talked about that.
He didn't actually lose, though. He didn't really lose. I mean,
he did really lose.
He lost by cuts. I mean,
no, he would have lost. He was getting murked.
Okay, but we've seen Nate Diaz come back in fights before.
No, he was really getting murked in this.
He was getting murked against the Conor McGregor fight too. I was there when he came back. Now, okay,
it was a little different.
I will concede that it didn't look good.
Okay? It didn't look good at all.
But this fight, it's at 55. So Diaz is coming down, and Diaz is a big dude. You know, like I've hung out with a lot of fighters before. When you hang out with like Frankie Edgar, who's shorter than me, but like obviously would destroy me, but or anybody else on the planet, pretty much. Yeah. But then you hang out with Nate Diaz, you realize Nate Diaz is he's like 6'1". I mean, he's 6 foot. He's a tall dude, maybe 60. He's a big dude, and he's wide, and he's not fat. He's just a thick, like he must cut from like 205 down to 55.
Easy. I think you're right. You know? Easy, but.
So he's going to be a lot bigger, and he looked so good against Anthony Pettis. People are forgetting the fight before Masvidal. He fucked up Pettis, the same Anthony Pettis who's looking like a killer right now. Everyone always forgets that the fight before the fight. Like, everyone forgets that. Now, maybe we're doing things about Justin Gaethje, because look how good Gaethje did against against Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
But, and he looked not very good against
Khabib. He looked horrible against Khabib. He did.
So this is a good fight. I like if this happens.
I don't
also
think so.
Nate Diaz can get in people's heads. He saw it against Michael Johnson. You saw it against Donald Cerrone. You saw it against Conor McGregor the first time. He doesn't fold. Like he doesn't like he can get in the Gaethje's head. I could see that happening. And then if they go punch for punch. I kind of like Nate Diaz. Like, he has that fucking thick head.
I wonder if the UFC is trying to set up Diaz versus McGregor 3, the trilogy match. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, Nate Diaz is not even ranked in the 155-pound division or the 170-pound division. He's nowhere to be seen on the rankings. So that's also an interesting aspect. But I could see
who do you like in that fight happening. Who do you like, Gaethje or Nate Diaz in that fight?
Fuck. I mean, I think Nate Diaz is more, he has more tools under his belt, but the boxing, it's almost neck and neck. I think Gaethje hits harder for sure, but I think Diaz might be a better boxer. You know what I mean? And better grappler. Maybe not wrestling wise, but jiu-jitsu wise at least.
When everything you just said plus more, if they go on the ground, no, I'm telling you, if they go on the ground, Nate's jiu-jitsu, he's going to get it.
So you think Nate wins this fight?
Without question. Absolutely.
Really? Against Gaethje?
Absolutely.
The same Justin Gaethje that was on like a 7-fight winning streak?
Yes. I think that because one, Nate has this extra padding under his skin in his head. That I'm serious, man. He takes damage like somebody and he'll still keep coming forward. I just really think that he has way more tools than Gaethje. Way more tools.
I mean, but Gaethje, his wrestling is like, it's like bad Asian pussy. Like, I know it exists, but I've never experienced it. You know,
and
like,
he won't do it. And he won't do it. He'll try to stand with Nate.
That's what I'm saying. But at the same time, when have we ever seen Gaethje hurt? Well, we've seen him hurt in the
him knocked unconscious. We've seen him knocked out.
What?
Yeah. Not. He's been knocked out, hasn't he?
Oh, he hasn't.
He's been knocked down.
He's been stopped. Yeah. I think Dustin Poirier stopped him, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he's been knocked down. He's never been like knocked out.
But he's been beat up.
Oh, yeah. I like it. So we got a comic joining us for a couple minutes who's now becoming a huge fight fan. And you know, like when someone becomes a huge fight fan, they just like text you like, hey, who's going to win this fight? But this dude's one of the best comics out there. He's a great joke writer. An excellent joke writer.
He's a great joke writer and one of the best sex traffickers I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. J. Chris Newberg. And it's funny. He owes me one because he was putting all these videos on TikTok. Are you on TikTok, Chang?
Yeah, but I just don't do it as much.
Listen, I wasn't on it, right? I'm like, I'm not doing it. Then I put like some stand-up comedy videos. The videos that get like 1,000 hits on YouTube or 2,000. They're getting like 30, 40, 50,000 hits on TikTok. Like 60,000 hits. I'm like, one of them got 175,000 hits in a week. I'm like, the fuck? So then I see this guy, and I like J. Chris, doing all these funny things, but getting like 7 hits, and I'm like 3 of the 7. And so I was like, so I called him up.
That was you.
I called him up, and I'm like, J. Chris, you got hilarious stuff on Leno, on this. Put up your comedy videos. He's like, oh, okay, I'll try that. In one day, 17,000 hits.
Hell yeah.
Listen to Adam, Chris.
No, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but in this case, I do. It worked. Am I right? No,
Adam has said two things to me in his entire life. The thing he just said when he called me, and the other time, one time he asked me to do a show at the Dime, and I walked in, and he goes, hey, buddy, you know they make that shirt in medium. And I was like, oh, cool. Thanks for saying that. Good to be on the show.
Yeah. But it worked, right?
Yeah, it was great. I got 30,000 views in like 2 days on 2 videos.
Yeah, Shang, do that. Put up your
I definitely will do that. I just felt like
put up your comic view stuff and all the stuff on like yeah, put it, like yeah, 30 yeah, seconds from your special and then put like, hey, to watch the whole special, go to blah blah blah. I think because there's so many bad videos on TikTok that anything that like is legitimately kind of funny, people will be like, oh shit, this is funny.
Yeah.
But I noticed a lot of my followers are like other dads that like spying on their daughters. So J. Chris.
Yes, sir.
You recently became a huge MMA fan. What got you into it?
I just kind of found humor in it, and not in a bad way, but I just like you watch these gentlemen and ladies hurting each other, just like punching the fuck out of each other. Then all of a sudden the bell rings and they hug and they're like best buddies. And I was like, that's brilliant. And then I started looking at it like it kind of seems like one-on-one, like human chess in a way whatsoever. And I just really got into it. And I love it when I just kind of like when the announcers just pick up their favorite person as the fight starts and only focus on how good that person is, despite the fact the other person could be doing okay. I mean, I love it. I think it's really cool. It's nothing I would ever be any good at or want to do, but it's something I really love watching.
Have you ever gotten to a fight before?
I have never gotten to a fight, but I sparred. I took Krav Maga for a year.
Wow.
I mean, okay, I think getting hit in the face a couple times is enough to just be like, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Wow. That was the most honest answer. Like, yeah, I was just getting hit in the face.
No, he's right. I remember I was sparring and boxing, and then I started getting headaches all night long. And I remember telling my girlfriend, I'm like, my head hurts. Why? She's like, you got punched in the head for an hour.
That could be the answer.
Yeah.
You know what? It's weird. I actually liked it. It sounds like I'm a psycho because Wayne has said that sounds good to me. But I actually liked the pain of it for a while. And then I realized I really can't keep doing this.
I don't mind I never mind the pain while it's happening.
Right.
It's later that night when you're just like trying to watch TV or do something and you're just like, fuck.
Oh, well, no, later sucks, but I'm going to tell you right now, it made me feel like I could get through anything else because I got through this. Does that make sense?
1,000%. 1,000%. And there's so many similarities between comedy and fighting because you're on your own. You got to depend on yourself. You're your own worst enemy. It's a chess match. You got to figure out it's everything is done in the gym. And same thing with comedy. Like, you're not just going to, like, wing it and then get on the, a Netflix special, you know, unless you know certain people. But
you were about to say Brendan Schaub.
But a lot of it is, like, how much repetition, how much work you've actually
done. Right, how many sets you do. The same as how many kicks you do. Like, it's weird where they're like, oh, you're not sparring until you do 1,000 kicks. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? And that threw me, like – no, I want to do it now. Fuck that. And they're like, nope, Nope, not until you get it right. So I think that's the other thing is the chess. That's the interesting, Chris, that you said it's a chess game. There's so many fighters that fight on heart, but I've seen some guys that where they're doing the chess game side of it, smoke the guy that is even bigger or stronger and just smoke him.
Adesanya, perfect example.
Wow.
Look at the guy who just beat Greg Hardy. I mean, he waited for Hardy to gas himself out. Like,
yeah, that was great.
And then just took him down and beat him up. Like, he literally was like, just last one round against this dude, let him tire himself out, and then beat him. And now, yeah. But now the game plan is open. Now, all right. So Dana White says he's meeting with Khabib to push for one more fight. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like I remember talking to Cejudo recently, and he's like, "What about what should I do? What do you guys do?" I'm like, "Bro, that's up to you, man. Like, you're the one in there." And I do worry that Khabib, if he goes in there because everybody else wants him to do it, he's not doing it because he wants to do it, And it's like it's just. Such a hard
I think sport. Dana White, I get it because that would be a fucking gigantic fight. It would be a gigantic Peter. Fight. But I think he should honor the fact that his mother doesn't want him to do it. No, I mean, truthfully, he should honor that and he should really stay out because of that. He's etched in the Hall of Fame forever. It's not like they're going to be like, oh, you didn't do that one more fight, so you ain't shit. So I think that he should just honor, what he said to his moms.
Well, they say he's a rock star. They say back in Dagestan, he can't walk down the street. I mean, it only is one street. But they say that, literally he gets mobbed. His coaches get mobbed, and he takes care of all his friends. He takes care of all their bills, puts them on the payroll, takes care of family. I mean, he's just a good dude. And that's, that this is.
I mean, you don't think that. I mean, he even said if my mom's told me, hey, I don't want you to do that anymore, I'd be like, okay, done deal. I made my point. And after what he fucking did to Gaethje, what he did to Gaethje, I thought was just like he murdered him. I mean, truthfully. And people are like, well, no, Gaethje just wasn't in the right mind frame. Well, this is a time to be in the fucking right mind frame.
Well, he murdered him, and he didn't look his best.
No, like, Khabib.
Khabib looked off in that fight. And murdered him.
And still murdered him. So imagine 100% Khabib. It would have been.
Well, let me ask you this question. So, Adam, so you're talking about how he's basically like, he's, European MC Hammer, and he's, covering all his buddies and he's taking everything else. So at some point, obviously, that's going to run out. So now, because comedy and boxing or comedy and fighting are the same, do you think there's the same type of addiction that's bringing him back to like, he doesn't want to fight. His mom says he doesn't want to fight, but it's in his blood, like comedy, like fighting. He's got to do it.
This guy's never drank. He never did drugs. He doesn't have, I don't think he has any side chicks as far as I know. Mm-hmm. He's a very loyal guy, a very devout Muslim guy. So I think the money he's made is probably going to carry a long way over there. I don't know how, I don't know what the dollar is in Dagestan, but I would assume that he's not going to run out of money. Okay. He's not Mayweather, putting, $5 million on the Pacers or whatever he's every night and lawsuits and baby mama drama and all this other shit and lawyers. I think that can deplete your funds pretty quick.
Right.
But I think if you live a pretty modest life, and you live.
And he seems like that. He seems like he has that sense of he doesn't need all of the bling bling and the shiny shit. Right. So I think that, but Chris, I don't think it's an addiction. I think that he's one of those people. He proved his point emphatically. I haven't seen any other fighter where I thought, oh, this is unnecessary. Get him off of me. Literally, there was one time I was watching going, somebody grabbed this dude off of this guy.
Yeah. The Michael Johnson.
Because he was looking at Dana White going, this is my shot.
Against Michael Johnson.
And Michael Johnson's no joke. And I was sitting there going, please, somebody.
That was the scariest thing I've ever seen. When he's looking at the promoter going, please stop it. I don't want to hurt him. Like, that was way more, to me, scary than Kevin Holland. Like, man, your mother smells like fucking bologna or whatever he says, When a guy's, telling you, I don't mean to hit you, but I have to do it. That's, the most psycho shit I've ever seen.
That's some psycho shit, but, I mean, I don't think it's an addiction. I think he needs to – I think he shouldn't come back.
What's
I
really his record? Do. I think is he 39-0?
Huh?
29-0.
29-0.
That's amazing.
So he's 29-0, has a ton of money. He's, like we said, White MC Hammer. If he comes back and let's say he loses fight number 30, but it's a huge payday, does he look down as less of a fighter?
Probably depends on how he loses. Whenever you lose a fight, people seem to always remember that for some odd reason. And I hate it about that.
Look at Tony. Tony lost two and they're like, it's over. Like, we talk about the same Tony Ferguson. What the fuck's wrong with you?
But also, like, Anderson Silva was like the GOAT and then he wasn't. So it really depends on that. But I also think that he's not the kind of guy that's going to walk away from a fight like on a loss. You know, who want to avenge that. So I think that, and also who he loses to. If he loses to Cotton, he hates McGregor. I mean, he literally jumped out of the cage to fight his friend after the fight, you know. So McGregor insulted his wife, and that was that's a big no-no.
Yeah, you could tell.
Dana White set you up for the perfect joke, Adam. I haven't seen you write it yet, but it's like the headline itself is a punchline. It's Dana White spoke to Conor McGregor and he said he's going to bring something that no one's ever seen. It's like the ultimate punchline set joke setup.
I don't know what it is, but it's set up.
So.
A clean drug test or something. Yeah, you know.
I look forward to your joke.
There we go. So thank you for that. Now John Jones posted a picture. He's 250 right now. Of all muscle. I mean, this dude looks like a monster.
Do you believe that, though? Do you believe that he's actually 250 or is he like 225 and he just rounded
up? I believe it because he was like 220, 230 fat. I mean, not fat, but fat for John Jones, you know? So, you know, this guy also, his two brothers were in the NFL. I mean, he's got some like really good genetics.
He got some mutant genetics.
I mean,
when you have three sons and two of them in the NFL, and one of them is the best fighter of all time, arguably. That's
arguably because I don't know why the fuck you just said that, but okay.
If it wasn't for steroids and you know, then yes, he'd be the best fighter of all time.
Yeah, but why did you say if it wasn't for steroids? If I wouldn't have hit that guy with a wrench, I would absolutely be the best fighter.
Even the steroids, like,
oh, stop it. Come on, he was on steroids when he fought Cormier. He was on steroids and cocaine.
I'm not cocaine. Well, cocaine I wouldn't say is a.
He was roided out then, and I think that
I agree. He did fail a steroid test. It wasn't like he failed for the same thing that like, you know, EPO or something or whatever. But he did. You're right. He did fail a steroid test. Right. So, what I'm saying is that John Jones at 250. Is going to be scary. And I don't know, like, and it's going to say Stipe Ngannou, which I think Stipe wins. I think Ngannou's wrestling just is not going to catch up to Stipe. I think, but Jones versus Stipe is a very interesting fight. And you got to give it to Jones as far as who's going to be favored because Stipe has lost fights. Jones hasn't. And oh man, that's going to be
tough. I thought Stylebender coming up in weight. I saw some footage of him and he's getting bigger.
Dana said, according to Dana White, don't hold your breath for the Stylebender. He goes, with John Jones with the heavyweight, I don't know. I don't want to get too excited. Adesanya still has to fight Jan Blachowicz, and Jones is a heavyweight. There's a lot of hurdles to expect. Jones expected to fight the winner of Ngannou and Miocic when it happens, and Adesanya fighting Jan Blachowicz. So I don't know. Why do I worry that Jones is going to beat Stipe?
I think that you're not giving it's
I
like
want
weird.
Stipe to win.
I want Stipe to win, number one. I like Stipe, but Stipe to me doesn't get the play that he deserves. It seems like they don't push him the way like they pushed the Conor McGregor's, and you know, like people like just starting out, they're like, yeah, let's push him. You should push Stipe. Stipe is a great fucking champion.
He also hates media. He's a fireman.
Yeah, but he doesn't
want to be in the public spotlight too much. He's a pretty, you know,
but as a fighter, they still should push him.
I agree. The Cormier knockout didn't help though.
It was great. Well, no, I said, you know who's great, but I can't think of his name, and I'm sure all three of you will know him. Who's the guy from Detroit who knocked out that dude in like 3 seconds, his second to last fight? It's like Rampage, or it's not Rampage, but it's like. He's like from Detroit. He's like always talks about Detroit, skinny dude, and he's won both of his fights. Like he's won all of his fights in the first round.
Kevin Holland, right?
It's not Kevin Holland. He's like he's from Detroit. He's all like motor. He's like and he wasn't favored in his last two fights. He knocked them unconscious in the first round.
What does he look like?
tall, skinny. He looks kind of like a skinny black Kevin Durant. Like that's how he's framed. That's his body.
It's like tall, skinny. I think I know who you're talking about, but
I'm lost.
He's amazing. He was on the last card, or he's on the last card of the card before that.
Really?
But he was exceptional. And like, I remember, cause it was like, I don't know, maybe it was like 4 or 5 weeks ago, he was on the card and like, it was just like, I picked every single fight wrong so far and he wasn't favored. I was just like, fuck it. I'm taking this guy. He's from Detroit. And he knocked the fucking dude out in six seconds. Then he fought like 3 weeks later.
That's Kevin Holland.
Kaelin Williams. Chaos Williams.
Chaos or Rampage. I was close. He's great. Am I wrong? Is he not good?
He is good.
I mean, we don't know yet because a lot of these guys off the Contender, I think he's from the Contender, right? They're looking great because they're fighting so often, but then they got to put him up against a guy who's been around. A lot of these guys are, I wouldn't say getting exposed, but they're fighting other kind of newbies.
Look phenomenal because they're fighting other.
Then you throw them up against a guy like Cub Swanson, who's just been around the block, and they all of a sudden don't look as good.
Right.
That seems to be happening a lot with some of the Contender guys, is that they go up against these kind of veterans, these wily veterans who are like, hey, not so fast. Or they knock the fuck out of the veteran. You're like, whoa, this guy really. But a lot of it is like, we have to
But Adam, the veterans have been, they're kind of winning more than.
Not. Yeah, no, that's been happening. These guys are like
the veterans, know, like, oh, I'm not your stepping stone. I'm gonna bust you up. But I think that Chaos is good, but I still really haven't seen him go against a really, really, really top notch wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And once I see him go against a wrestler, and if he can show me his ground game is no joke, then I'd be like, all right, I'm on your team. But until then, shut the fuck up. I feel like way with any fighter.
Nobody's saying he's not talking. What do you shut that?
I mean, I'm saying about him, but anybody. Oh, yeah. because you got to look at it. Anybody that until you fight like really great grapplers or wrestlers, if you got a great stand-up game, you really can't talk shit. You got to have all that shit down. You can't just have one of them down and think, well, I got that. That's all I need.
That's the thing about these guys that knock you out in 3 seconds that you have to figure, like they just sometimes like the power can be misleading. As far as like the overall game of these guys, but the UFC loves it. I mean, you want guys, cause that's who you talk about. You don't talk about the guy who grounded out a 30-29 decision. Now, Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar, or 30-27, whatever. So this fight, people are picking Calvin. I think everyone's sleeping on Max Holloway. I thought Max Holloway won his last fight. Holloway also has a huge win over what's his name? The guy who learned how to fight on these streets. What's his name? The guy who's done all those commercials and Modelo commercials. You know what I'm talking about? Dude who knocked out Frankie Edgar in like 10 seconds.
Brian
Ortega?
Yeah, Ortega. Yeah. I mean, Holloway looked great against Ortega.
Because Ortega made the mistake of not using his strongest, he didn't use his jiu-jitsu.
He beat up Ortega. I mean, that fight.
I know, but he didn't. They never really went to the ground to see how good Ortega. When he chokes you, that's it's rap. He should have used that more, and he didn't.
He should have, could have, would have. He didn't because the guy didn't let him. Okay, that's why he didn't do it. He's gonna sit there and go, "Hey,
a fan of his." Ortega's the truth, though. Don't sleep on him.
He also I think banged Halle Berry, which you know.
Yeah.
So even if he loses the rest of his fights, I mean,
I'm like, maybe you know what? That made me like him more now.
Allegedly banged Halle Berry.
Let's just say he did.
That I feel like Halle Berry is your type. Now, would you rather bang Halle Berry or Lisa Bonet, Shang?
Halle Berry.
J. Chris?
Lisa Bonet.
Ween Dog?
I don't know who Lisa Bonet is.
From the Cosby Show. She's
come on, bro. I'm like 19 years old. Cosby Show. That's like
it's Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
She's married to Aquaman.
She is married to Aquaman.
What's
she's
her name again?
Jason Lisa Bonet. Momoa.
She
used to bang Lenny Kravitz.
Right, and now she's with the. I call him Aquaman because that's who he is to me. But his name's Jason Momoa, and that's his wife.
Have you ever met her in real life, Shang, or no?
Lisa Bonet, yeah, many times.
She's pretty hot.
And you guys didn't have any sparks?
No, she was too weird. No, she really was. I went to her house. In Venice Beach, she had a tree that was growing out of the living room through each floor. And there was like bugs and dirt. I'm like, and everybody had toe rings and They were all talking about the ethereal messages that they get from eating an onion. They were all fucking nuts.
Yeah, she looks like she practices witchcraft.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, hey,
she looks like she's good at practicing witchcraft.
Yes, yeah. Please, can you stop drinking chicken blood and talk to me for a second?
That doesn't turn you on sometimes. I'm like, those girls are like fun.
No, I at the time I was like, this is a little too weird. You know,
by the way, Jay Chris, your girl, you're batting out of your, good for you, man. Damn.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no argument. I agree. Out of my league. No question.
I wouldn't say that, Chris.
I mean, you know, it's fine.
I really wouldn't say that. I'd be like, no, you know why she's not out of your league? Because you got her. So she is in your league.
I don't go home and cut myself hoping for like someone to steal her. I'm just, I just go, yeah, I kind of shot for the moon. I actually got it this time. All right, good enough. I'm done. Put the gun away.
So back to fighting. I like Holloway. I think Calvin Kattar is a great fighter, but I just think that Holloway's been around the block. Like we said, Ween Dog, everyone's thinking he's like kind of past his prime. He's what, 28 years old, this kid?
Yeah, he's 29, which is unbelievable.
I mean, yeah. And these Hawaiians, I don't know what Hawaiians are like, man. Like, I know obviously Hawaii is a part of America, but I just think Hawaiians are just tougher, man. Like, they're just like, when I think like Americans and Hawaiians, I think Hawaiians are just a different breed. Like, yeah. they start fighting it. Like a fight is like a way to end an argument. Yeah. It's not like let's talk it out. It's let's go in the backyard and let's fight.
Right. Whoever Even if you wins. Give them, yeah, if you give them the wrong change, if you're a cashier and they go, hey, brother, hey, how about we figure this out outside, brother? I've been there at times and they'll say some shit to me going, dude, I just want a sandwich. I don't want to fight. Like, I don't want to fight you.
It's ridiculous. I mean,
yeah, but Max Holloway is the truth. The thing is,
I think he loses.
Keep writing him off, write people off.
Why does he lose, J. Chris Newberg?
Well, I'm going to take the years of experience and knowledge that you guys have times three, and I'm gonna take the same approach. I know that you said you were very young, but remember on What's Happening on the television show What's Happening, when yep. Dwayne started picking football teams correctly based solely on their helmet.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't matter if you remember that at all. I can't stand the wings on Max Holloway's back. It just reminds me of like a stripper who wants you to pay her in like life insurance. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. I can't do it with the wings, and I just want someone to beat the shit out of him. He may be the truth. He may be better.
Really nice guy. What the hell?
There is no question. I'm sure he's a fantastic dude. I'm telling you how I'm picking the fight.
That was the most scientific.
You guys know better. You're correct. You're probably right. But I will sit in front of my television and I will be watching and I'll be like, beat the fuck out of that dude. Hit him so hard his angel wing falls off. But afterwards, I would smile and hug him because that's what we do.
He's coming off two losses to Volkanovski.
Questionable loss.
A questionable loss. But I hear you. I used to do a joke where Reebok came into the UFC, so now he has to be sponsored by Red Bull. The wings. Max is a nice guy. His ex-girlfriend used to watch my TV show and comment all the time. His ex-wife. he got married at a young age. Like, I think he got married like 18, 19.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they're divorced. Like, Hawaiians have like, it's a different, they have like 30 lives, but like they have to have kids at like 18 or they get ostracized. Like yeah. If you're not on Teen Mom, you're like a huge failure in Hawaii. Like they have young kids. Like, honestly, they have like four. You haven't seen a Hawaiian. They have like six kids in the family. Like
right, a couple Hawaiians I met. They walked up. He was 23, and his son was like 18 or some shit like that. I'm like, the fuck, man.
You watch Hawaiian TikTok videos. They're both underage.
Yeah,
like the mom and the daughter. But the thing is that like that whole BJ Penn fight that that's what they do in Hawaii. They just fight their friend and then go to a bar. Like when he got knocked out by the bouncer.
Right.
The
yeah, I saw it. And he busted Everyone's his head like, off oh of the cement.
He came back and won. So, all right. Matt Brown, Carlos Condit. We talked about that. Matt Brown is a guy who was in jail. He like overdosed, was pronounced dead, came back, went on the Ultimate Fighter, lost some, went on like a 10-fight winning streak. Here's what Matt Brown sometimes like doesn't do well when he gets too nice during fights. Like, remember when he hugged Donald Cerrone and then Cerrone kicked him in the head afterwards and won? I think Matt Brown would have won if he had not fallen into that trick of hugging
if
him.
If he'd be the mean Matt Brown.
He's got to be the mean Matt Brown. Carlos Condit, I remember when he was the natural born killer in the WEC. Remember right. that? Like he's always been a murderer. Yeah, I mean, he's 8-9 in the UFC. How crazy is that? He's 8-9 in the UFC.
I have a question. So how is he 8-9 in the UFC? If his record, I'm sorry. I was looking at Max Holloway's record. So Carlos Condit.
Yeah, he's 31-13. So most of his wins came in like WEC or in other.
Yeah, 31-13. Yeah. Okay. I was confused for a sec. So like of those 31 wins, only 8 of those are UFC wins?
Yeah. 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 But he fought the best guys in the world.
He fought top notch killers back to back to back. So it wasn't like he was fighting bums. And plus those fights would go to distance and he'd be bloodied and exhausted. So it was one of the most exciting fights.
Yeah.
He's one of those exciting fighters where you go, even if he loses, you go, fuck, I want to see this dude fight again.
I don't know. But this fight, like, first of all, I love the fact it's going to be on ABC. Like the fact that this is supposed to ABC at 7 a.m.
Yeah. Is it early?
Yeah. 7 a.m. Is that when the prelims start?
Like, so when I was a kid, like Saturday morning, you watch cartoons. Now you're going to watch people just blooding.
Like, yeah.
Just fall off.
And if it's on ABC, it's only a matter of time until Nickelodeon starts showing UFC fights. Can you imagine?
Now on Noggin.
So, after this kid gets slimed, we're going to have a couple UFC fights. But I already told you, first off, I don't understand why people are even betting on Max Holloway's going to win by far.
All right. Famously. Okay. I don't know. I know.
Ween, don't give me that face. Me and Ween actually both have picked. I picked 2 in a row, bro. Okay,
have you seen Ween's TikTok? It's like Trump supporter times 75. Okay. Well,
what does that have to do with anything?
We weren't even talking about.
But you making great decisions in life, isn't it? Last Saturday.
So you correlate that too.
Tuesday, he went down. He said he talked about going down a black. What'd you say? You went down a shitting.
Porn yeah, credit? Shit porn like rabbit hole on the internet.
Okay, you know what? I take back what I said. No, Wayne has been right. I have been. I got 2 in a row, so I'm feeling pretty good. I just feel like, you know, Adam, that's a shit. Wow. That is no, aside from the fact that you support Trump, who was impeached twice. Am I right? But aside from that, I really do think that people, when someone loses, they write them off and act like they're not a great fighter. And he did get jerked on that last fight to the point where
so Dana White was like, 100%. We got Holloway. All right. So Ponzinibbio. Versus Lee Jingliang.
Jingliang? Is that how you say it?
Yeah. I think that Ponzinibbio is going to win this fight. I don't know why. This is a weird fight to make because he knocked out Neil Magny. The other guy lost to Neil Magny. He beat Magny a while back. He beat Mike Perry. This guy, Ponzinibbio, is an underrated dude. Like, I don't know why people aren't talking about him.
He's heavily favored.
Good. He should be heavily favored.
Right. That's basically Adam's like, why wouldn't he be?
And same thing with fucking with the other one, Joaquin Buckley, who's coming off 3-fight winning streak, is fighting Alessio Dechirio, who's like a 3-fight losing streak. I don't understand like what they're trying to get. Like they figure ABC, they want people to watch it, so they're going to put guys that are going to get knocked out. So everyone's going to like they're going to draw more fans in that way. But
yes, they probably will.
Yeah, absolutely.
But maybe, but these seem kind of like, I wouldn't say mismatches, but weird, a little bit weird matchmaking. It looks like they're.
You don't think that maybe they're trying to pad and push certain people, and by putting people with losing streaks against people with winning streaks, it pads their record?
It's the way it looks on paper, right? But they don't usually do that, and you never actually know what's going to happen.
I think it sounds like that to me.
Is Buckley the guy, this sounds racist, but it's not, just because they came up at the same time to me and they're built similar. Was Joaquin the guy who did that spin
yes.
kick?
Yes.
Yes. But okay. Guess what, Chris, if you have to preface it, it might sound racist, but it's not.
No, I just meant, I was about to say they look the
good
same
chance
to me.
It might be.
I was about to say they look the same. Maybe. I know, but I was just saying, I was just like, that's the same way I described the Kevin Durant guy. The frame, you know, that's what he looks right. like.
No, and no, like, yeah. Did and you I called the guy with the purple. He had the knockout, I think, of the year. That, in my opinion, to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that was great.
Year, I think of like the ever.
That wasn't that the most viral thing
no,
ever?
No, I wouldn't say ever. No, no, no. I'd say,
I don't know, man. What no. knockout was better?
No,
Edson Barboza. Spinning wheel kick. I still think that one's better than Joaquin Buckley's.
That, I think that one's better, and I think that what is his name? He fought. Oh, fuck.
I think Yair Rodriguez versus Korean Zombie. I think that is better. Like the back elbow from out of nowhere, the last second of the final round.
Ben Askren versus Masvidal, but that was a crazy knockout. But I don't know because we've seen all those throws before. Like I've seen spinning wheel kicks before. I've seen flying knees before.
Anthony Pettis, I think.
That wasn't a knockout, though. That was a knockdown.
I don't – okay, you're right. But that was amazing.
Yeah.
Off the gate.
Right. So we got a guy named Tall Steve coming on. Yeah. Tall Steve Mowry is undefeated in Bellator. He's 6'7".
8'8".
6'8". Yeah.
6'8". He's 6'8".
6'8", undefeated murderer. Murderer, out of Florida, and just got engaged, right?
I didn't get engaged. I got to go pregnant.
Oh, you got to go pregnant.
Same thing. Right.
Which is just as good in today's game.
It's the Cliff Note right? version.
Now, is this your girlfriend, though, right? Not just some random girl?
Yeah.
She's beautiful, and she could, like, blow you while she's standing up. So that's cool. That's actually
I mean, yeah, girl. Right?
Yeah. So, Tall Steve, what's been going on in your world?
Not a whole lot, man. I'm anxious to get back in the cage. I really wish they'd put something on the calendar. But you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens here. Other than that, no, just living day to day life, trying to get better, trying to do my thing.
They should be giving you more of a push, man. I mean, you've won every one of your fights, all by stoppages. You're undefeated. You're a great guy, well-spoken.
Unbelievably handsome. You always forget that part.
Keep forgetting that, Adam. Handsome. You got to get that in there, Adam.
Do you think that you're too nice? You think you're too much of a – you need to start, like, talking more shit online and stuff?
Maybe. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm nothing – maybe I didn't get this far by being somebody that I wasn't, and I feel like if I were to do that, that would be something.
It would come off – I think it would come off corny. I think
– it's ingenuine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the way – and plus, what you're basically your talking has been in a cage. I watched a video, and you when you did the Americana, and his arm was twisted back like a fucking pretzel. I was like, he doesn't really need to talk shit. He pretty much know. Like after you do shit like that, I go, you don't have to talk shit when you do that to people.
Get the job done, right?
Steve's on my Instagram, and he likes and comments on all my baby photos. And I always tell my wife, I'm like, look, like Tall Steve.
Violet is my favorite Instagram personality, without a doubt.
She's so cute.
And it's the cutest thing, because it's like this savage fighter guy is like always making these stories of like, oh, that kid took her toy. She came back and got it. Like,
oh, fuck yeah. She's always moving and grooving to the music. I'm having a little girl too. So.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Congratulations, dude. Congratulations. You're going to love it.
Yeah, everybody, a lot of the guys at the gym, they call it the fighter curse. They have girls. And, man, I don't know. I'm excited. They all say they love it, though. Like,
I
think Nick Lentz is not known for his Nick Lentz is not known for his, you know, bubbly personality. Every time he brings his little girl around, he completely melts, and it's you know, it's something to behold. So I'm really looking forward to, like, you know, that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I can't explain it.
No, 1,000%. I was like, I wanted a boy. I wanted to teach him how to wrestle and this and that. Having a girl, it's nothing like it, dude. It's the greatest.
I wanted girls, and I got boys. I know. I the first time I was like, oh, well, that's cool. And then my second son, I was like, ah, shit, I got another one. And yeah. So, but now I love him to death. But still, I mean,
yo, get this. My younger brother, he's 25 now. He'll be 26 next month. He, like, the entire course of my mom's pregnancy, they thought he was going to be a girl. And it wasn't until, because back then, you know, I mean, they only had the sonogram images, but back then, they didn't know he was a boy until he showed up, and then he was Brian. Wow. I think they had to, like, pun on the name, I think.
That's hilarious. So now let's talk about some stuff. We talked a little bit about some mixed martial arts news. But two of your training partners are fighting each other. Gilbert Burns is fighting
Gilbert and Kamaru. Yep.
Yes. You've seen them spar. Who wins?
I don't think I have seen them spar, if I'm being honest with you. I've sparred with both of them. And I mean, I've wrestled, grappled with both of them, but I'm not like bullshitting. I don't think I've seen them go against each other.
I mean, how good is Gilbert?
Gilbert definitely has that intensity and like the passion and the fire. Whenever he spars, there's no off switch with Gilbert. It's all move forward with that, like that heat and that aggression. But Kamar is definitely the more of the two of them. And I mean, you can see when they fight, but Kamar is the more measured in his approach. He fights with more of like a cadence and a rhythm. I mean, I think, I don't want to say that Kamar has a better fight IQ, but I do want to say that in his fights, you tend to see him like, as the fight develops, he tends to have more of like a feel for what's going to happen. And that's not to say that Gilbert doesn't have that also, but Gilbert's more the type that like his pressure is what exposes that. I think Kamaru, it's like a feel, you know, he's in there. And then before you know it, he's already got you figured out.
Were you surprised how good Colby did against Usman?
No, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, I was surprised that it was as much striking as it was, but I mean, Colby did a really good job. I feel like every time we talk to you, we talk about Colby, right? Colby really made a career on his personality. But fact of the matter is Colby can fight, dog. And it's every time I see him fight, I forget just how much of a stud he is, you know? And here's the thing. I think we talked about this the last time too. And this bears mentioning because Colby's one of them guys where it's like, I think Ric Flair, right? Ric Flair's personality is like the party boy who like whatever spends money, goes to, you know, he's always drinking, he's always hanging around loose women, but he ended up like becoming his persona. And Colby, you know, was famous for in real life kind of being, you know, like an amicable guy, you know, being cool, like, but he made this like larger than life, like piece of shit persona kind of thing. And then you know, before we knew it, we started hearing rumors about how like the guys in the gym didn't like him because he wasn't paying them, and because he was starting beef with dudes that like where it wasn't necessary. And it's like just kind of one of them things where it's like he might, you know, be a halfway decent guy, but he kind of is becoming what he portrayed. You know, like I don't want to say a parody of himself, but he is like turning into that character that he so desperately needed to be to keep right, his career.
But he acted like he was acting like a shithead. Now he is a shithead.
Now he's kind of becoming a shithead.
Comics become that too. Like comics become their persona.
Chris D'Elia. I think Chris D'Elia.
They're like nice people. They figure out a persona that works. And all of a sudden they're like people. They fuck women as their persona.
Yeah.
Because they realize that women don't like them as who they really are. So right. You see these comics sort of.
Yeah.
They don't know.
Yeah, I only take a girl home depending on which show she saw.
Right. Yeah. Seriously. I've had many, like you take a girl to a comedy show because like, oh, you'll see her in your best element, but then all of a sudden you bomb and I don't even want to talk to her. Like I had a threesome one time where I was pissed the whole time because I just fucking it.
I don't even know what that means. How are you ever pissed on a three-way?
How do you get pissed at a threesome?
Yeah,
guys. I bombed in front of like
fuck all these titties. Like, this is bullshit.
I think Gersh came, the whole agency, and I just fucking it was like the friends.
Like you two go finish up over there. I'm gonna pound the corner.
I was like hate fucking both of them, but I was really just hating myself, not them.
Being a person that never gets stuff like that, I don't want to really talk about it anymore.
It was two porn stars.
But I want to ask you guys something. How the hell do you? They give so many props to Kobe. Kamar murked him at the end of the fight where you're supposed to murk people. He knocked the shit. There's a picture of his face where he hit him in the jaw, and it looks like he literally his face broke is going to jaw. Fall apart.
He broke his jaw. He hit him so hard.
So why is it they give? They're like, well, but that was a good fight. No, at the end of the fight is when you have to really step it up. And Kamar measured it, timed it, and clocked the shit out of him. And they're still like, yeah, but Kobe did good. He did good, but you got fucking clocked, bro.
Yeah. And Kamaru, one thing Kamaru like doesn't get enough credit for is just how put together he is everywhere. Like he has a solid game everywhere the fight right. goes. And I've seen him, I mean, just not having experienced it myself, but also having him seen go with other guys, he's fucking like good. You know, he beats up regularly on guys that are 2-3 weight classes above him. He's a stud. He's got skill in spades. It's you know, kind of like a bittersweet thing. Gilbert gave me my brown belt. And like, as much as I'm talking about Kamaru, you know, like I do have a really developed relationship with, I have one with both guys, but I definitely have a developed relationship with Gilbert. Like, you know, like I said, gave me my brown belt. Like I know his kids, stuff like that. Gilbert, you know, awesome guys. Like I said, kind of bittersweet, you know, that they're fighting, but that's the cost. That's the price you pay whenever, you know, you're the best in the world is eventually you might have to fight somebody you like, I guess.
Is Rumble back in the gym?
Yeah. Yeah. Rumble's back in the much what, to the,
what's training with Anthony Johnson like?
My skill, I think, caught up to him enough to now where it's, you know, at least it's a, you know, I at least have something to show for it, or at least have something to offer back. When I first started training with Rumble, dude, it was every day I was just trying not to get knocked the fuck out. But that said, he's a beast. I think, he just signed with Bellator, like you saw. I'm sure he's going to some people up here, I'm sorry, in these next couple months.
Yeah, he's always been a beast. And I just wanted to make sure, and Adam, I know we're probably going to go, I think Gilbert is going to lose because all that forward pressure, but he's not measured
enough. Let's focus on the next, okay.
Kamar's going to fucking beat him. Fuck
all right, you, okay. All right, okay. So let's talk about Max Holloway versus Calvin Kattar. Thank you, Shang. I love you, buddy. All right, so Max Holloway, Calvin Kattar. Who do you like in this fight?
But to build on what you said, if it was just walking into a punch, if that forward pressure was so reckless and not effective, how did he make it all this way? Is all I have to offer you for that. I did talk up Kamaru a lot, but Gilbert deserves some credit there. He puts people on their back foot and he doesn't let them up. Calvin Kattar, Max Holloway. Max Holloway was a dude that if you had told me this time 6 years ago that Max Holloway was going to be Max Holloway was going to be who he is, you know, like arguably like one of the best featherweights to ever do it, I'd have been like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? Max Holloway, like the one who got torn in half by Dustin Poirier, you know, so on and so forth, Conor McGregor. But like, he's obviously like not only carved out a reputation for himself, he's like made a full-on legacy. I thought for sure in their second fight, I thought Alexander Volkanovski was gonna beat him up even worse, but then lo and behold, he comes back and they had that super controversial decision. But you know, Calvin Katerman, or I don't know if it's Kattar, Kater,
Kater.
Is it Kater?
But it looks like Kattar. I want to say, yeah. Kattar, just by the way it's spelled.
Either way, the dude's a stud. Every fight he gets better, and it seems like with every setback he comes back, you know, whatever, a head and shoulders above whatever he was two fights before. And no, it's exciting. If I had to make a bet, I'd probably bet on Holloway, but man, if Kattar went in there and got it done, it'd be no surprise to me at all.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of, I kind of feel the same way. Condit Brown,
probably Brown. I mean, nothing personal against Condit, but I think Brown's just like, Brown's that guy that he still shows up to get mean and nasty. And he's kind of, you know, he's kind of like the old dog in the cage now. Doesn't have like the same, his body can't do for him what it did 5-6 years ago, but I still think that he's got that like extra little bit left in the tank that Condit probably doesn't.
And then have you trained with Ponzinibbio, or is that he American top team?
He's an American top team. Who's he fighting again?
Li Jingliang.
Oh, the Korean kid, right? The really, is he Korean or is he Chinese? I'm thinking of a different Chinese.
Yeah.
He fought somewhat recently, a couple months ago, knocked dude out and like knocked out a really good guy, right?
Yeah, he knocked out Zaleski Dos Santos, but he lost to Neil Magny his last fight. I think you're thinking of someone else.
I probably am. Ponzinibbio there for sure, though.
And then Joaquin Buckley versus Alessio Di Chiquirico.
Joaquin Buckley. Alessio Di Chiquirico, or the Italian kid. Yeah, he's nice. He came and trained with us for a little bit. But Joaquin Buckley, man. He had a touch and go first fight, but ever since then, he's looked great.
Is there a guy that came to your gym that you're like, man, this guy sucks? Like, what is he doing? And he goes out there and just murders somebody that you're like, holy shit, how'd that happen?
I don't know if I would say
Or the opposite, where you're like, this guy's amazing.
I don't want to say his name. He's going to know who I'm talking about if I say it. You know what? I'll go ahead. I'll give you an example of both. I wouldn't say he sucks, but whenever he fights, he competes like way out of his frame is Ung Lan Song. And it's not to say he sucks in the gym. He doesn't. He's a beast. But whenever he competes, he's just this entirely different animal. And it's fucking beautiful. It's like unreal. And it's, you know, just I don't know if you've ever met him, but Ung is like, he's, you know, real life MMA Goku. He's like mad chill, super kind. But whenever the cage door closes behind him, he just becomes somebody else. It's beautiful. And then I have another friend, like, I'm not going to say his name, but he's a dude that in the gym, he's someone that people are rolling their eyes. Oh, I don't want to have to go with him today, but he's just hasn't been able to make the parlay into the, you know, a successful professional record yet.
Well, I mean, Michael Johnson's a guy that probably is amazing. And then he just makes like these little mistakes in the octagon. You're like, oh no.
Oh man, that's every fight for him. And Michael, nobody I don't think is a bigger fan of Michael Johnson than me. Michael Johnson, I would have to say my favorite person I train with that I like to see fight is Michael Johnson, because in the gym and in the cage, he just brings this fucking intensity, and it's so cool. It's so cool to watch. It's so cool to watch him. He comes forward that southpaw, like that excellent boxing. He has good kicks. He just doesn't throw them. It's just, you know, there's an expression I'm looking for. It's like he finds a way to win until he loses, or he snatches, just, it's not that I don't want to be a dick. He's a good friend. It's just that, like, that's kind of how his last couple fights have went. Snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
He told us the same thing.
He's the man. And that's the thing, is he's one of them guys that, you know, I mean, his schedule speaks for itself. He doesn't fight shitty dudes. He fights tough guys. It's just that, like, man, he's a beast. His record is not indicative of his skill level, for sure.
So Conor McGregor says he's going to knock out Poirier in 60 seconds, right? That's what he's saying, 60 seconds. First of all, you train with Eddie Alvarez. Was that surprising?
I never got to meet Eddie, unfortunately.
Oh, he wasn't there when you were there?
No, he had moved like a year before I got here. The closest I ever got to interacting with him was I was walking into the Black Zillions one day while he was in the back working with Michael Johnson and our old grappling coach. And, like, we made eye contact as I was rounding a corner, and I was like, oh, shit, that's Eddie Alvarez. But by the time our training had started, his training had finished. So, I unfortunately never got to meet him.
So, who do you like in Poirier versus McGregor?
McGregor.
McGregor?
Poirier is an awesome dude, but McGregor's got that heat, dog.
What about you, J. Chris Newberg?
Hey.
I like McGregor.
Yeah.
I keep doing these podcasts with you, hoping I eventually meet her, and here we go.
His name is Tall Steve. Say hi, Tall Steve. So J. Chris, you like McGregor?
I like McGregor. I do. I think that he's just too big of a deal. He's too much of their, I mean, for at least the next couple of months with he's the face still, I think. I mean, despite the fact that he annoys probably just as many people as adore him.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely, regardless of whether you love him or hate him, you want to watch that fight.
Chang?
Poirier, by far. This is not the same Poirier that he fought before. This is a different Poirier, a more mature Poirier. He's not going to get all up in his fucking feelings like he did before, because to be real with you, McConnor mind-fucked him. Like, mind-fucked him last time. Mm. And I think this is a different Poirier. I think he's going to pace himself. He's not going to try to run in and, you know, I want to kill this guy. And I think they're sleeping on Poirier. I hope that Poirier wins. And McGregor, big deal or not, hasn't fought for a fucking long time, bro.
We know
that, you got to put that into account.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a factor many people aren't really taking into consideration for this fight is the fans. You know, people say that Conor does a lot better with the fans, the big Irish mafia that comes out to support McGregor. And you might say the opposite for Dustin. You might say Dustin lets the heat of the moment get to him when there's thousands and thousands of fans rooting for the opposite guy, especially when it's McGregor. But I know I heard that they're going to have fans at this event. They're having it at the arena.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much.
We've seen Poirier do both, though, to be fair. We've seen Poirier. I mean, yeah, McGregor was already taking his metaphorical gloves off before the fight was even over. Like, he was that far ahead of him mentally. But Poirier had a fight with Gaethje where I really feel like it could have gone it could have gone momentum wise either way, but he found a way to gut it out and make it through. Same with the Eddie Alvarez fight, the second one. I really feel like it was one of those things where Poirier was getting the better of the exchanges, but Eddie Alvarez was like winning the big moments. And then, you know, in a high pressure situation, Dustin Poirier is able to find a way to turn it on.
And that's how it benefits Poirier. He's had the experience now of headlining big UFC cards. He knows what it's like to be in the spotlight.
Yeah. But if we're talking big UFC cards, then McGregor, you have to give him the clear cut pass there, I feel like. But that's what I'm saying is, you see, Poirier works both ways. With Conor McGregor, we've only ever seen him in big time situations.
Exactly. Right. I got Poirier in this fight.
I really want Poirier to win.
I'm rooting for Poirier 100%.
For some odd reason. McGregor, he looks so physically bigger than him too. I mean, he just looks like he's really like in great shape, like the best shape I've seen him. He looks old though. I mean, you talk about a guy who's aged.
You see, he hasn't fought. He beat the shit out of that old guy in a bar. So you guys got to count that one. I mean, he's staying sharp.
Booger
so
Sugar will put years on you, huh?
That guy took the punch. He didn't beat that guy. That guy.
Oh, yeah, that dude ate it. He ate
the punch. And said, come on, young lassie.
That guy, like, ate it and kept drinking. Like,
he ate it. He ate it and he didn't even get up from his beer. That was the beautiful thing. It was like, all right.
I wouldn't say he beat the shit out of the old guy at the bar.
I wouldn't say that either.
Well, he won on the cards, won nothing.
I really want Poirier to win. I just. For some odd reason, my gut is telling me McGregor's going to win.
Skill-wise, I think McGregor's going to win it. I think Poirier could win it. And it's not to say that he doesn't – it's not that he said he doesn't belong in there. And I think Poirier, like, on the merit of his personality and who he is, it, like, the strength of his character, I'm definitely rooting for Poirier.
Yeah. Now
every time I see – I saw him on the Theo Vaughn podcast the other day, and I was like – Every time I hear him talk, I'm like, man, this guy is so cool.
He is cool. He's like, I was watching a fight with him one time, though. We're watching a fight, and I was like, hey, you know, I wrestled in high school. He's like, oh, so you'd be good at getting the shit beaten out of you. I was like, thanks, man. I was like, yikes. Now,
right, dude, thanks.
Now, as far as Michael Chandler goes, how good is he in practice? What's it like training with him?
Oh, he's always on 100% of the time. I've never done a live round or even like a play round or any kind of. I've never done any kind of training with Michael Chandler like he and I with each other. But no, Michael Chandler is a beast, man. Michael Chandler is a dude where what you see in the cage is what you see in the gym. He's just all around dominant. His wrestling and his grappling are so good. And then he had the power that was conducive to like the highlight reel knockouts that you saw. But I would definitely say since he's met Henry, he's like carved out a system for himself. And you know, we'll see. I can't wait to see how that works out against Hooker.
Wow.
I fucking love Dan Hooker too. I think Dan Hooker is a beast. It's just it'll be really cool to see how Hooker's able to, or rather how Chandler's able to implement his stuff.
Mm. Yeah, now I'm looking forward to that one. Now, in a boxing match, if Ben Askren versus Jake Paul happens, who do you like in that fight?
Why you gotta
That's horrible.
You know, I'm going to be honest.
Sure that wasn't going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Ben Askren is not a guy known for his hands.
Oh, you know, no. You're picking Jake Paul, huh?
I just don't. I want to say Askren could go out there and, you know, probably the more seasoned competitor. But just boxing? What's Ben Askren going to – have you ever seen Ben Askren make any actionable offense on his feet? And be honest with me.
No, that's MMA fighters are saying this, that's a problem. Like when MMA fighters are saying that this is that, but yeah, I know. I want to, but Ben Jake Paul's in boxing every day for the past 5 years.
Yeah, we'd be having a similar conversation. Which one of them wrestled? Which one of the Paul brothers wrestled? Was the he was
both
supposed
them, to? Both of them did, but Logan was the better one.
He went to OU or something like that.
I think he wrestled for 1 year at OU, yeah.
Okay, so if you were to tell me, so even on this, it's a similar comparison, I feel like. I feel like it's the juxtaposition is similar, right? So you have a guy who's like, he was probably in there training with good guys, doing the right stuff, but like, okay, wrestling with Ben Askren, who's like gone out and done it against the best in the world, like, okay, well, no, like I just don't. And it's the same, look,
yeah,
it's reciprocal. You know what I mean? Like Ben Askren, I'm sure he's trained high level striking with good guys, sparred with good dudes, and maybe even been competitive at some points. But like, there's no evidence to show that he's got like anything even serviceable on the feet, let alone, you know, formidable. So,
right.
Yeah.
I think that
Riley's making the best one ever so far.
Is it Bisping?
People are talking about, well, people are giving Logan Paul a chance against Mayweather because he has a 50-pound weight advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, Tall Steve, but do you think you could beat Mayweather in a boxing match?
Yeah, just boxing match? Do I think I could? Yes, but we're talking about something different.
Okay, why?
Well, I'm 6'8" and I'm 250 pounds. So
it's a whole different beast.
We're talking about something. If they want to call me and they want to have me box with which one are we talking about? It Logan is the bigger one.
Yeah,
we could set it up, but it's like, but if anything about that, like, and that's, I guess, kind of what people are all in their feelings about whenever, you know, you talk about this this whatever, this scenario or whatever you want to call it, is it's like it's almost like how far gone are we from like the actual, you know, like intrigue of the sport, and gone to like just the spectacle of it being caught up in it. Like,
it's terrible. But I'm gonna watch it though. Now you told me
you're gonna watch it, but you just said it was terrible.
It's terrible. It's terrible. The sport.
So I'm probably gonna watch clips. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, but like,
I'm gonna be entertained. What else am I gonna do on that night? But we're still gonna be in lockdown.
I know, but I'm not paying for that fight. I might watch a highlight or some
stuff.
You're gonna pay. I'll pay for it just to.
Oh,
just
no way, no way.
I can go online and make 1,000 jokes about it too. You know,
just stream it off of Crack Streams or something like that.
I don't believe in that.
No, they got rid of Crack Streams.
They got rid of it.
There's 400,000 more other streaming.
The homie Brendan Schaub made sure the Crack Streams is out.
Dana's going after all the pirates. We do not.
He's coming for us.
Real quick, let me ask you a question. You just said it was terrible.
It is terrible.
So wait a minute. How do you say it's terrible, then turn around and say, yeah, but I'm going to pay for it? But if you think it's terrible, why would you pay for it?
Because it's going to be, I'm going to laugh.
Oh, you said it's funny.
I'm going to laugh.
It for the humor.
Before you guys called, I had, we have Disney Plus. So it's part of like that package deal they do with Hulu. And, I turned on The Phantom Menace, and it's like one of those things where I'm like, I don't have any fucking idea what I'm doing watching The Phantom Menace. It's like consensus the worst Star Wars.
It's horrible.
I feel the same way about that as I do kind of about that boxing match, in the sense that it's like, you know what, I just might fucking hate myself enough where I'll sit through it. I'll sit through it for the parts that'll make me laugh. And the terrible acting and all that, just for that, maybe that little payoff that might come if I fucking, you know, drag my sunburned skin through the sandpaper. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing. Like,
I just don't understand why
you'll get some sort of reward from watching 40 minutes of, you know, I mean, whatever god awful bullshit you're gonna put yourself through.
Adam, watch a real fight. Watch real fights.
I watch real fights, but
I know but why support
my entire Instagram.
Fights.
Instagram, Twitter, everything's gonna be about this fight.
Jake Paul, they're come on, it's a joke, bruh.
What do you think they'll get paid?
Ed Askren's gonna clear at least 75.
Floyd's not gonna do it for less than probably 20 million.
Yeah, Floyd he's gotta get a cut of the pay per view. And I'm sure that'll probably, let's be honest with each other, that probably will make him 20 mil.
Floyd's fought some of the most the best fighters boxing wise. Even an older Floyd can beat
any version of Floyd. Any 9-year-old.
Like even a young, like if he was younger, it'd be even worse. But
10-year-old Floyd could be Jake Paul.
I don't like shit like that, because it kind of makes newbies think it's a joke. If you know,
it is a joke. That is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complete joke.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, they'll look at it like, well, fighting's not real until you knock them out. But fighting's not real because, you know, Jake Paul could do it. The guy that juggles cats from YouTube did it, right? So I can beat your ass. It's like, no, right, man. It insults the fighters, you know? It just insults them.
But it's, I mean, absolutely, 100%, it insults the fighters. But it's like, as far as it's the easiest dollar to make, you have some social media champion who runs his mouth and wants to fight a legit boxer.
Everyone the dollars don't pay. Lie either. And that's the unfortunate thing about the sport is that like people want to see what they want to see, you know.
I know what you're saying.
It's like one it's like literally one above celebrity death match. You know, it's just like you I mean it's literally that. Because you kind of want to see it. It's like you guys are talking about whether you'd watch the fight or whether you wouldn't. No, but I would absolutely pay $50 to see that fucking idiot get punched in the face. Or just the potential.
Really?
But I mean, I'm not going
to
watch it.
I feel like it's like watching Bully Beatdown to me, because Bully Beatdown, I was like, why are you even in the octagon?
You know, meanwhile, so Mayhem, by the way, is January 20th is his trial. He's looking at life in prison. I may get called to talk for him, which of course I'm going to do if I get called on his behalf. But I thought it'd be funny to have like all the people that have been bullied speak on his behalf in court. Like if we have like 50
the dude that he fought.
Like just all the kids that got beat up.
Oh yeah.
On that show, and be like, yeah, I was getting the shit beat out of me, but then because of Mayhem's show.
But then Mayhem saved me.
But
well, yeah. Can we all agree that Shawshank Redemption is one of the best movies ever made?
Ever.
Agreed.
Agreed. The first weekend that it came out in theaters, it tanked. You know why? Came out the same weekend as Speed. Keanu Reeves
got crushed. Yeah, it got crushed by it.
It got crushed because Speed was out. Has anybody in here? Have we all seen Speed?
It wasn't bad.
Yo, come on. Are you serious?
It wasn't Shawshank Redemption, but it wasn't.
But are we talking about comparable? That's what I'm saying. So look, Shawshank Redemption, we can all agree, is the far superior film. But I mean,
I see the metaphor. It's just sad.
That's the metaphor. Is like, okay, well, look, like the intrigue of Shawshank Redemption is going to carry on forever and ever. But like. Hey, at the time, people really just wanted to watch Keanu Reeves drive a fucking bus off a cliff or whatever. Whatever the fuck, I don't even remember what happened.
I just hope the undercard is more basketball players or like
basketball players fighting strippers. Yeah. Wow. James Harden.
It's just getting worse and worse. Basketball fighting strippers.
James Harden fighting his insatiable sex addiction.
Yeah, like that's hilarious. Yeah, somebody said
Adam,
like,
you have a weird way of looking.
Howard Stern said he wants that Dunkelman fighting depression. Brian Dunkelman fighting depression.
That's right. But
very funny.
We could have Trump in a tag team match. Trump and Deontay Wilder versus all 10 of the people on Twitter's executive board.
You could sell a pay-per-view to Trump versus Biden in chess, and it would make $1 billion if we could just have the audio.
Of course.
But now, don't you think that it's getting worse and it makes it fucked up and weird?
Yes, of course. But you know what? The last Tyson one I enjoyed. Watching Tyson.
Oh, my God. Did you?
It was fucking beautiful. I can't believe how good of a fight that was.
I loved it. Tyson took it very seriously. Like, he came Tyson, in an amazing
thing. That was the sick thing about it was that one of them hadn't fought in 15 years, and the other one had competed as recently as 2.5 years before. And I would not have guessed it was Tyson who had the longer sit out. I could not believe how good he looked. And I mean, I know they awarded a draw or whatever, but I thought Tyson looked sensational. I mean, he looked like the 50-year-old version of Tyson, but like he did some awesome stuff in that fight. He didn't gas out. It was really cool.
He looked great.
I couldn't watch it. My friends were watching. I couldn't watch it. I was like, I just saw it. Feel like one of them is going to get hit, and their ARP card is going to fall out there.
Before we leave, Steve, you said you had an announcement to make. You were coming out today. You were exposing yourself.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to expose myself. You ready? Oh,
yes.
I have a new sponsor. It's a fire department coffee company.
Nice.
I was like, this got weird.
I've decided to partner with them, obviously because I support firemen and first responders. My future brother-in-law is a fireman, but also it's veteran-owned and operated, which I'm a big proponent of. If you use Maori 20 at checkout, you get 20% off of your order. I'd like to thank my other sponsors, America's Gun Range, Icon Meals, and Thrasher Hemp Chews. Hey, no, before we hop off, I feel like you're the only guy close enough to the business that would actually be able to sum it up for me. What's going on with Brian Callen?
So Brian Callen,
he's been doing stuff again, hasn't he?
Yeah, because I guess you know he had there was an
he
article.
Had, he got he had some hot water there for a minute. I don't need to speculate on that.
No, he got the article wrote about him, and it was one girl said it, that he raped her. And then there was some other stuff that was like, also not good, you know, none of it was good. But right. but he wasn't, convicted of anything. He was, they were all allegations. And I think he countersued the woman's husband. It's getting ugly, but he got dropped from his agency. He got all kinds of tour dates canceled. But at the same time, like, he's back on tour. He got dropped from Fighter and the Kid. He's out of that, but he has his own podcast, I think, with Sam Tripoli and some other stuff. I spoke to him a couple times. Me and Callum talked, and you know, he you know, denies it. And
yeah, that's what he told me.
So that's the thing. It's like, you know, I wasn't there. I have no idea what happened.
That's what I was saying. So he showed up on a video with Joe Rogan as recently as like a month ago. And I mean, it could have been an old video. I don't know. But like, what did Sam Tripoli get in trouble for then?
I don't know.
I heard a joke about it recently on some podcast somewhere. And I was like, it went completely over my head.
I mean, Sam is definitely like out there with his conspiracies. So there's probably a bunch of things that he said. I know that he doesn't have any kind of like allegations against him for any. Kind
yeah.
Of,
well, then
like, nothing Me Too'd. I'm sure he said some things that like people disagree with, and you know, Sam does not hold back at all.
So he's a comedian, right?
Yeah, he's a comedian, but also like, but it borders on like, some of them aren't really jokes, it's just his opinions, but that's the beauty of this world. You get to have your own opinions. As far as Callum goes, I'm not trying to say undermine what went on. I'm just telling you what I know.
I just didn't know if everything had cleared up yet or not. So
yeah, no, as far as I know, it hasn't cleared up, but he's still working. So I know he has like two kids, and so he's gotta try to support his family. But
yeah, good for him.
So yeah, that's all I know about that.
Yeah.
Crazy. By the way, before we end, we have a quick fight announcement that was made during this podcast. It's a great fight. We have
Brian Keller's lawyers against me.
No, no, it's Ryan Hall.
Steven Adahunter versus Brian Cowan and all of his legal team.
Yeah, Ryan Hall versus who?
Dan Ige.
That's Ryan Hall fight. Versus Dan Ige. Wow.
Yes.
That's a great fight.
145.
That's a sick fight.
Man, Ryan Hall is just that guy that it's got to be so hard to train for.
Yeah.
Because you got to find a guy that just goes for like rolling Imanari rolls the entire time.
He grabs you and tries to take something home with him.
Oh my God. You know, yeah,
it's like, where would you even find a guy like that? Like, you'd have to get him from a video game.
You have to go to like,
because he does weird shit. You go, oh, I didn't see that come. It was Kimura. And then he did a flip with it. Like,
It works. I mean, this shit works.
Is Ryan Hall the guy with the colored hair and the kung fu dude who broke his foot?
No,
that's Sean O'Malley.
Ryan Hall's
that's
a guy.
That's Sean O'Malley. It's Sugar Shane. Sean O'Malley.
Ryan Hall's a guy who's a fighter who has Tourette's syndrome, who is like one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world at one point, I think. I think he's like high up there. And his striking is minimal, but he beats guys by going for like completely unorthodox roles and gets and wins. And he's like also like really awkward and talking like a monotone voice, never looks at you. And he's just like one of the, he's just like that dude, but he's also kind of confident and cocky.
He's cocky, but weird. And he has gorilla strength. So if he grabs your arm, you're thinking, well, it's probably going to be at his house because he's taking it with him.
Yeah, he's really smart. He's really, really smart. Like next level smart. But at the same time,
that's a good fight.
It's almost like watching UFC 1 all over again. Where a guy only knows like one particular martial art against somebody who does, you know. But, you know, hey, look, if it was like when I'm watching a fight, I feel like it's like, I'm watching a video game where the kid keeps playing the same button over and over again.
Yeah, and he's just making it happen.
Yeah, low kick, low kick, low kick, low kick, low kick. Yeah.
But good for him, man. I know that I have a family member with Tourette's syndrome, and it's really, really hard to live with that. Tough, and people make fun of it. It sucks. So anybody that can have that and move forward and make it work for them, I'm always
good for them. Yeah.
So what do we have coming up, Shang?
I'm still promoting a special, Shangri, for Amazon Prime. And then I'm going to start going out and doing shows. I don't want to necessarily, yet because I'm hearing too many comics getting COVID, which is not good, but I'm going to probably do it. Even though I got money in the bank, I still miss the stage too much.
What about you, Jay Chris?
Two things. One, my podcast, Always Heroin, has a great publicist, is fun. I'm writing a movie with a buddy, and I have no idea if anyone will ever see it, but it'll be the next 30 days of my life, and I'm excited. Question for Steve. You are 6'8". If you were to fight a Steve who was 6'10", would he be taller Steve, or would you still be tall Steve, and you guys would fight it out to see who's actually tall Steve?
He would be Stefan Struve. Oh, yeah.
Stefan Struve, by the way.
Come back.
Stefan Struve, who I've practiced with and probably fought, you know, fucking 100 rounds against. I don't know.
Dude, one time he was in the hospital, and I never met him, but he writes, like, he's got put in the hospital by, like, Mark Hunt, like, broke his jaw.
I saw that.
And he goes, I got my jaw wired. Please. And he tagged me, make me laugh. I was like the nicest thing. And then we became like friends. And then he goes, I can't wait to see you. I'm going to punch you in the dick. And I was like, I guess this is like Swedish humor or something.
Yeah. You're like, man, you Dutch guys are fucking weird.
I was like, okay.
That's a weird, greeting.
the Dutch and their comedy are fucking different.
Wienda, what do you got?
Go follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at the Ween Dog. And if you go to my Twitter profile, my pinned tweet is a link to my Teespring store where you can buy a Ween Dog for President t-shirt for like $25.
All right. And then Steve Mowry, what do you have?
Tall Steve Fights People on Instagram, Tall Steve MMA. Thanks to all my sponsors my aforementioned sponsors. As soon as they call me, I'm going to say yes to whoever. Then we're going to get down, hopefully these next few weeks.
Yeah.
All right. And
thank you guys for having me so much. I always have so much fun when I hang out with you guys.
Oh, that's cool. Man. Cool.
Love you. And I catch you.
Great comeback with that, the Stefan Struve. That's a great comeback.
My good friend Desmond. He's whenever I introduce him to people, I'm like the shorter, black, better looking version of me. And they're like, well, who's the shorter, white, better looking version of you? And I always say my little brother Brian.
Oh, nice. Well, catch my special right now on Fight Pass. Adam Hunter throwing punches on Fight Pass. Thank you guys so much. Have a great week. Take care,
guys. Have a great week, bye-bye, man.